This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.
Watford finally won a competitive game this season last night by beating Coventry 3-0. Now, listen, I've got to just talk about West Ham at the weekend because West Ham beat Watford. And, look, you wasn't happy with the Spurs result, obviously.
No.
I, on the other hand...
Was very happy.
Was very happy with the West Ham result.
Yes, you was.
And I did think... I looked at the... You know, look, I've been away and we got smashed by Man City. I got up... in America to watch the start of that.
On NBC Sports.
Yeah, and
NBC,
I thought, do you know what? I thought West Ham played really well for the first 20 minutes and then just Man City do what they do and smashed us to pieces. And then we go and get a draw, okay, at Brighton. And I thought, oh, really? Come on, we've got some really good new signings, this Sebastian Haller. And when I looked at Watford, I thought Watford are going to be another one of these that are going to just block us and we're not going to get anything out of the game.
Yeah.
So I was pleased that West Ham sort of turned it on them. However, last night, Watford finally won their first competitive game of the season, beating Coventry 3-0 in the Cup. And we are joined now by Andy Lewis, Hornets Nest podcast. I bet you was happy... with that one last night?
Yes, very happy. Really important, obviously, to get any sort of goal or win under our belt at the start of this season after what's been a dreadful start to the season.
Yeah.
So I don't care about the opposition, just a win's a win and a bit of confidence going into a big game now on Saturday.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a big one on Saturday. I mean, even though Coventry, of course, are not in your... Well, literally not in your league, if you know, to say it right. It's still a win, though, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. And I think that's just what the squad needs at the moment. You know, we played all right on Saturday against West Ham, certainly the first 15 minutes after the start of the second half. And if Hughes taps the ball into an empty net, we could have been talking about our first points of the season. But
luckily, you didn't know.
You know, I don't care if it's Coventry. I don't care if it's Manchester United. A win's a win.
Yeah. What about the new signing? Sarr scored as well. Do you think he can be exciting as he looks?
Yeah, definitely. The first signs are good. It was tricky when he came on for his debut on Saturday. But he looked quite keen, and last night, you know, an excellent through ball from Success, and I think that was maybe his first shot on target in English football, and it's found the back of the net. So he's come with a lot of pressure. You know, you're a record signing, so we're expecting big things for him, or from him rather. So we'll see.
Listen, I mean, on Saturday you've got Newcastle. I mean, that's massive, isn't it? Because, I mean, you know, they should be very happy they beat us, Spurs, the other day. But are you confident that you could get a win away?
I'm confident we can get something. It's become a must-not-lose game, because I think if we do lose, then whilst I don't want it to happen, I think Javi is in serious danger of losing his job. I think all the pressure after that win against Spurs, I think all the pressure is now lumped on Newcastle, actually, to sort of back it up.
Yes.
You know, you can go away from home and beat Spurs. You should be beating Watford at home. So it's going to be a really, really tense game. And I think, dare I say, the first team that score, I think, will probably go on to win it. But we needed a major change, and I think Javi's 11 changes last night has given him a big selection headache ahead of Saturday.
You just mentioned about Gracia there. He's under pressure now, isn't he? You know, managers go very fast these days. You don't get a lot of time, do you?
You don't, no, and certainly not at Watford. It's been the case certainly since we got promoted. Obviously, the season we came up as well, we went through four head coaches for one reason or another. But I would be, if he was to go, sadly, I wouldn't be surprised, but I would be a bit disappointed given what he managed to achieve last season with pretty much the same squad. Yes, results obviously haven't been good. Performances defensively haven't been good, but I don't think all the blame can be lumped on Javi. I don't think personally the recruitment in the summer transfer window address the issues that we had in the defence. I can't believe that our owners sat and watched us get trounced 6-0 against Manchester City and think all our defence needs is Craig Dawson. So it baffles me that we didn't do more defensively in the transfer window. But I'd be very, very sad to see him go, because I think we finally got that stability and we've got a guy who fits the club perfectly. Fans like him, the players respect him. And I think the players are still playing for him. There's no evidence of any sort of issues in the background with the players, like we saw under Mazzari, for example. So it would be really sad if it happens. And I really, really hope that he can turn it round.
Yeah, I mean, listen. I mean, you had a pretty good end to the year, to the season last year, didn't you? I mean, or this year. You got through to the FA Cup final. Not such a bad position in the league. I mean, what happened? You know, what's happened? Why is it such a bad start for you?
Well, actually, the end of last season wasn't great. Obviously, the FA Cup final was what it was, and I don't think anyone was going to beat Man City that day, regardless of whether we put 11 players on the goal line for 90 minutes and just try and stop them. But even league results, our last league win was away at already relegated Huddersfield. Before that, we beat then relegated Fulham. We should have finished in the top half. We had, I think, three defeats to end our league season. So
same as Spurs. We didn't do too well at the end either.
I would have rather been in Spurs' position, to be perfectly honest, at the end of the season. But that's kind of why the pressure's on him, because at the back end of last season, we did have those defeats. And there's been some pretty grim reading that I think in 2019, I think we've accumulated the fewest number of points out of teams already or still in the Premier League, sort of excluding the likes of Fulham and Huddersfield.
Do you think you did enough in the window?
Attacking, I think so, but defensively, definitely not.
Right.
Definitely not. It was clear that last season we needed to bolster up our defence. I think this season was probably one of the biggest transfer windows, one of the most important ones that we've had since getting promoted. If we wanted, last season we came close, obviously, to qualifying for Europe, and the likes of Leicester and Everton were under par last season, and they've all strengthened. Wolves as well, of course. And I think if the owners were serious about wanting to challenge for that seventh spot or top six, I think this season is open for anyone. If they wanted to be serious about that, I think they really, really needed to desperately invest in that defence, and we didn't see that.
Right.
Now, if you don't beat Newcastle, this is a bit of a struggle. You've got Arsenal, Man City, Wolves, Spurs, Chelsea in the next seven games. That's a tough run, right?
Well,
it makes a pretty grim reading. If we come out of Saturday still bottom of the table with 0 points, then I honestly don't see where the next points are coming from. Hopefully Sheffield United at home, but they've already proved that they can compete at this level. I honestly don't see us getting anything out of September with away games at City and Wolves and home game against Arsenal.
If you lose those, even Elton John will jack his holiday in. Here you go. I've had enough of being on this boat with Beckham. Let's jack it in the south of France. Let's get back, see what we can do. Predictions for your next games.
I'm going to have to be positive, aren't I? So there's 3-0 win last night is going to give us the confidence, and we're going to win 2-0 on Saturday.
Yeah, I think Johnny Sperling said earlier he thinks that the Newcastle win over Spurs was a bit of a fluke.
Yep.
And he predicted that they would lose all of their games coming forward.
Yeah.
So you may...
We'll be the only club that they beat the whole season. We always are.
Typical Spurs fan. There you go. Andy, listen, wish you well. And let's hope this this win over Coventry can kick you on. Andy Lewis there, Hornets Nest podcast.
From Ali to Zaha, we've got it covered. Love Sport Radio.
We are joined by a friend of the show. We love having her on.
Oh, we do.
We always have a wonderful time.
Yes.
This is on the story, Remainers are less likely to want their children to date leavers. Joined by a friend of the show now, Dr. Pam Spur, relationship expert. Good afternoon, Pam.
Hello, guys. I've missed you.
Oh, we've missed you so much, Pam. Now, Pam, I mean, it's like saying, listen, I'm an Arsenal supporter. I will not have anyone dating someone who's a Tottenham supporter.
Almost religion, isn't it?
That is, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
This is that whole thing. The YouGov survey has come out about, but of course it's been about politics, but I hear the same thing from, you know, oh, God, if my daughter went out with someone who supported, you know, Tottenham, I would be so upset because, of course, I support Arsenal. I mean, people get so controlling about what their children's tastes are when it comes to partners and who these people support, whether it's politics or sports or religion. It's incredible.
Do you know what, though, Pam? I was just thinking... There was something on last night, and I was listening to it, and they said, you know, look, okay, it was virtually a split, you know, it was a 48-52, but it's not far away, is it? And if we had another vote, it would probably be the same. Parliament are pretty much 50-50 across the parties, and so it is a massive talking point, isn't it? And if you do get into a debate with anybody, doesn't matter who it is, whether you're a Remainer or a Leaver, there is always this little bit of, no. Yeah, but I'll tell you what, no. And they go, yeah, well, we could do it. No. So there's always an argument. And I'm just wondering, if one of your kids was dating somebody, there's always going to be some form of row over it, isn't there?
Well, there is, and this is the thing. I mean, we're so protective of our children anyway, so we think we want them to make the right choices. But this now cuts so deep, you know, these political issues. Once upon a time, it was about things like religion, maybe sports. You know, we joked about footy teams, but, people do get so serious. But now it's in everybody's, you know, in your world. You can't escape it. It's all over the place. And then you get more entrenched about the way you feel. And I know as a psychologist, people get so defensive. Mm. And if you're under attack, like if you're the only Remainer in your family and you're under attack, you get even more defensive about it. So it's like there's almost no way for people to become less entrenched. And that means it's spinning into the next generation where you actually care who your child goes out with.
It's
crazy.
It's very true. But Pam, I don't know if you, I don't know, how long have you been living over here?
Oh, since I was 16?
Right, so I don't know if you...
You wouldn't believe it with the accent, would you?
No, you wouldn't. Yeah. But I don't know if you remember a programme called Till Death Us Do Part. Do you remember that programme? With Alf Garnett. It was Alf Garnett, right? And he was basically... I'll tell you what it was. It was the English version. Well, they had the American version spin-off of Archie Bunker.
And, oh, my gosh, yes.
Yes.
Okay, but, I know what you're talking about.
This was the original. Basically, he had a son-in-law who was Labour, and he was staunch Conservative. And the whole... what are you talking about, you long-haired louts? Yeah. What are you talking about? Labour ain't listen. You're Wilson. You're... And it was all that, all the way through it, and they were just constantly bickering about it. But to be honest with you, I think some people like... I mean, some people like having the enemy very close so they can have a good old row about it.
Well, some people do love the drama, don't they? And they will always pick a fight. But it's interesting you should say that, because this same YouGov survey found that it was Labour supporters who are almost twice as likely as conservative supporters to actually be upset about their child's choice of partner. So I don't know why the Labour people are more entrenched than conservatives.
It's very true that.
Well, let's just say it's the Remainers that we see all the time protesting about it. Because obviously the
I'm a Remainer.
I'm
always protesting about it.
Do you know
anything to stop a hard
Brexit.
No, very strangely enough, me and my brother, we've probably spoke before about this, Pam, but I'd sadly lost my brother 4 years ago very suddenly.
Yeah.
And my brother was, he was a wealthy boy, had come out of the city, worked in the city, and he'd retired very early, and he was...
Staunch Remainer.
He was. What I'm saying is, we pretty much had the same political views, but his view was to remain, and my view was to leave.
Yeah.
And it's really odd that I think me and him are so close on everything.
Yeah, but that you
he
wasn't.
He had that view, and I had that view.
Yeah.
It's very, very strange. I don't, you know, obviously he's not here now, but I'm wondering how we would have bantered.
How you would have coped? Yeah, I mean, honestly, it depends what your relationship was like. If it was full of drama, then this would have created even more drama.
Yeah.
But if you got on really well and you accepted each other's differences, then it would be fine. But as I say, people are now so it cuts right through them how they feel about this issue.
Yeah.
I don't know how the country's going to heal itself, whatever happens.
No,
but
no,
I really don't.
Do you know, Pam, I've got to tell you a quick, you and Belle, Belle doesn't know this story, very, very quickly. When I was about 15, I was in a group, and we went out to this person's house.
He was in a band.
He was managing us. Yeah, I was in a band. And the elections with Neil Kinnock, and I think it was Thatcher.
Thatcher
and Kinnock, get it right. And the elections had been that night. Mm. So this was the next morning. And obviously Thatcher had won. And we went around to this manager's house. And in his window, all across his window, was a picture of Kinnock. Right, this huge picture of him, right? Yeah. And we've walked in there, and we've sat down to get a cup of tea. And the fella, the owner of the house, because we was managed by the wife,
right,
and the husband came in, didn't say anything, ripped not just the picture down, just in front of us, ripped the picture and his curtains. He just went, well, that's the end of that then, isn't it? This country's done for. And he's gone, and he's pulled all his curtains, ripped his curtains, yeah, and walked out.
But that's how passionate some people are, isn't it?
It's one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
I mean, what, listen.
But the big point about this, okay, so you know, whoever, whether you were for Kinnock or Thatcher or whatever, you guys had business to do.
Yeah.
But when it's your kids, And you see them going out with someone you don't approve of because of that person's political stance or religion or whatever, you know what's really important? Those kids have to present a united front to you and prove that you're wrong, that actually it doesn't matter what sort of divide there is. So I always say to people, you know, if your grown-up children are actually getting along really well with that partner, isn't their happiness more important than whether that person
should be.
I was going to ask you this as well, Pam. I've been in the States for the last 3 weeks in Florida.
Oh, lucky you. Yeah, I'm so jealous.
Me too, Pam. Me too. I had to be here for 3 weeks.
So I was sort of mainly in Miami and sort of drove all around the sort of the Gulf Coast as well and stuff. But
oh, I love it down there.
It was wonderful. Naples and Clearwater and all that. But do you know what I noticed? I noticed that, you know, just hearing people, even, you know, if the screens were on in a bar or that, you know, the sort of debate about Trump and stuff. Mm. Now, I think that they're in the same boat, aren't they? In the fact if you're a Trump supporter, if you're not, they're just, it's almost like, well, you were my mate last week, but you actually like Trump. You're not my mate anymore. It's so divided.
Well, you know, it's interesting you say that because I'm a Remainer, but I actually do not, you know, I don't hate Brexiters at all. I understand your point of view. But as an anti-Trump person, I literally cannot understand how anybody can support him. It goes that deep with me.
Really?
And he is. I think he's even more divisive than Brexit is here. Honestly.
Tell me, Pat, very quickly, what is it you hate about him the most, or dislike about him?
Where do we start? His misogyny, racism, his narcissism, his lack of diplomacy and dignity. He has absolutely no... He's like a toddler. He lashes out.
How did he get there, though, Pam? How did he get there? This is the thing. I mean, I don't know anyone really that likes him.
Because a whole load of people in America feeling neglected.
Yeah.
And both the Democrats and the Republicans have neglected all swathes of people who feel they've been left behind.
Yep.
And that's what's happened with Trump.
The problem is,
Trump is as elitist as you can get, and was born with a platinum spoon in his mouth. And all these people who have struggled to find work or whatever, they look at him and say, oh, he's one of us. No, he's not one of us. He is so rich, and he has gold-plated lifts. And it's the way he's done his PR that they have bought into it, that he's not part of the elite. You couldn't get more part of the elite.
No, it's ridiculous. It's true. It's very true. I don't think that could happen over here. I mean, normally you've got to kind of know your onions to get into to be a prime minister, and been through, at least, mind you, I mean, Boris is, and David Cameron, both very privileged people, aren't they?
Very privileged people, yep.
Yeah.
And for Boris to pretend that he is not part of the elite,
Farage
to pretend he's not part of the elite.
Yeah.
Of course, they're so rich.
Yes.
They've had privilege all their lives. They have no idea what it's like for the rest of most of us. You know, so... Yeah, the way they use their PR is incredible to make it them and us.
It's true.
They are still those other guys. They are not like us. They do not live like we do.
Barack Obama probably was slightly different, wasn't he? I mean, he kind of, although he was from a rich family, he still kind of struggled a little bit, didn't he, to get on?
No, he didn't come from rich family.
No, it wasn't rich, was it? No.
No. Very, very kind of middle, yeah. middle class. No, I mean, he had dignity. Now, he didn't do as much as I thought he would do in office. I mean, I had my Obama crush on him. But at least he had dignity.
Yeah, I think we all did, actually. I think we all did that. we all did, didn't we? But even when he went, Pam, I just thought that he went with dignity. I thought she was fantastic. I still do.
Oh, love Michelle.
I love Michelle Obama. And, you know, I think, but they were a wonderful family. I know he didn't do quite what we thought he was going
to
do.
What he set out to do. But yeah. He was fighting against the Republicans who controlled the houses. So what could he do? They really had his hands tied. So.
We could talk to you all day long.
Always lovely, everyone. Right?
And we've only covered half of what I wanted to. Unfortunately, we have to go to a break. But it's always lovely.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Always lovely, lovely, lovely.
Round of applause. Round of applause for Pam.
Not many people get a round of applause, Pam. Dr. Pam Spurr, thank you very much indeed. And we'll be back after this.
Giving your team a voice. Love Sport Radio.
That's an interesting debate, that the Remainers. Remainers are less likely to want their children to date leavers. Don't you find it quite mad, really? You know, I understand it with religion. You know, we've said, like, you know, if you of the Jewish faith and you want your kid to marry a Jewish faith, I understand it. I do.
It's funny, you know, I saw when the World Cup was on last year. We had us versus Croatia, wasn't it? Mm. So they had a thing on the news where one of the had a husband who was English and his wife was Croatian, and they were both supporting different teams that night, you know, and they were married. So and it worked lovely for them, you know. There you go.
Okay, listen, John, the government has asked the Queen to suspend Parliament in September, just weeks before the Brexit deadline of October 31st. Adam Payne, political reporter, Business Insider, and John Rentall, chief political commentator for The Independent, joins us now.
Friend of the shows. Friend of the show.
How are you guys?
Friends of the show, well, I think, is what you're trying to get at.
What did I say?
Friends of the show.
You said friend of the show.
Didn't I? I'm sorry, fellas.
Anyway, I'm a friend of the show.
Yes, certainly are. Certainly are. Listen, John, we've got to start with you now. Why are they doing this? Are they finally admitting that no deal is their priority?
Mm. No. They're trying to restrict the what the anti-no dealers can get up to. By giving them less time to organise to try and stop us leaving without a deal.
Yeah.
In a way, they may be doing them a favour by forcing them to decide whether they really want to stop a no deal. So, I suspect it'll all come down to the last 2 weeks of October. I mean, I think next week Jeremy Corbyn's not really going to try and pass a motion of no confidence. I think the serious business will all happen at the last minute.
Question to you, Adam. Can this be stopped? And what can those opposed to suspending Parliament do about it?
Well, I think that's a question they're currently debating among themselves. I think next week, one of the effects of this move we've seen today is that next week, the MPs, the cross-party group of MPs who are opposed to no deal, will try and come up with something, some piece of legislation, some legislative tool for forcing Boris Johnson to get an extension to Article 50 and averting a no deal on Halloween. So you could have the usual suspects, former Attorney General Dominic Grieve, Labour MP Yvette Cooper, and all the other, of course, Jeremy Corbyn himself and all those other senior figures. They'll be working up something right now for when Parliament returns next week. So I guess you've got the route in which you use legislation, but then you've got the more nuclear option, I guess, of a vote of no confidence in the government, which even the Conservative MPs who are opposed to no deal would have to think long and hard and are incredibly reluctant to actually do that. So I think I agree with John in that this government wants a deal.
Obviously,
it's taken a hard line when it comes to no deal, but its priority is a deal. And this is a strategy for kind of having leverage over the mischievous MPs in the House of Parliament. But no matter how you slice it, we are heading for a very frantic few weeks where things are going to be done at the last minute.
It's going to be a panic, isn't it? John, does it make it? Does this make a vote of no confidence more likely? Like the Lib Dems and the Greens haven't backed Corbyn on that before now, have they?
No. I mean, well, it's interesting. I mean, Jeremy Corbyn's put out a short statement. It only took him two hours and 40 minutes after the announcement to work out what his line was. And it doesn't mention tabling a vote of no confidence. So I think Jeremy Corbyn's going to run away from that one. I don't think there'll be an attempt to bring Boris Johnson down next week. And it wouldn't succeed if there was, which is probably why Jeremy Corbyn isn't going to do it. So, I mean, the question is whether the anti-no dealers can get something else going on the legislative front. I mean, whether they can maybe try next week to take control of the parliamentary timetable in October. I think that's probably where they should be focusing their efforts if they're serious about trying to stop a no deal exit.
Mm. Adam, is this unprecedented? I mean, the Speaker, John Bercow, has described it as a constitutional outrage.
I guess it is unprecedented.
For me or for Adam?
For Adam, I'm sorry.
Thank you, yeah. I think it is in the sense that, I mean, it's not unusual for a government to take a break after a session of Parliament before holding a Queen's speech, but this is a much longer break than we are used to. And, you know, you can't remove the context from the situation, which is that we are at the business end of a national crisis. So when you put it in context, to kind of impose a lengthy break on Parliament just weeks before a potentially massive constitutional, economic and social change for the country is a pretty unprecedented thing to do, I would say so.
Mm. Okay, John, I've got to ask you this as well.
Yep.
During when the time like the Parliament will be suspended, what will be going on? Is it all Brexit related, or do they just all go on holiday or jump on the yacht with Elton John or something in the south of France? what happens?
It'll be like the strange sort of phone war we're in at the moment when Parliament isn't sitting, but there are people all over Westminster sort of having conversations all the time. I mean, Adam's right. It is. I mean, it's unusual to have such a long break, and we were expecting Parliament to take control of its own timetable and extend the sitting in September, and perhaps, you know, not take so much time off for the party conferences. Mm. But I mean, my view on that is, you know, all that's happened is that MPs have got less time to sit around talking about what they're going to do about No Deal Brexit. And they're actually being put on the spot and forced to decide what they are actually going to do about a no-deal Brexit. And they were never going to decide that until close to the time anyway. I don't think they were ever going to do a motion of no confidence against Boris Johnson next week. I think all that is going to happen in October. And, you know, Boris Johnson's trying to close them down, trying to give them as little time as possible to get their act together, but in a way that might just increase the sense of urgency and make them more desperate to stop a no-deal exit if that's what we're heading for in the middle of October.
Question to you, Adam. How likely is an election in the near future now? I mean, the Chancellor is set to announce an entire manifesto effectively, isn't he?
I think an election is definitely increasing in likelihood. If you ask me to predict what's going to happen, I don't do that often. It's a futile thing and I'm often proved wrong. But I think there will be an election in the next few months, just because if I'm looking inside the minds of Boris and Dominic Cummings, etc., if Parliament does find a means of delaying Brexit, making sure it doesn't happen on October 31st, that gives Johnson his pretense for calling an election. He will frame it along the lines of it's me and you, the people, versus Parliament. I think that's a pretty strong pitch. It's not too dissimilar from the Leave campaign's pitch in 2016. And also, when you look at what's happening in the polls, while Johnson is just about managing to tame the Brexit Party, if he can continue to do that in an election while the Lib Dems and to a lesser extent the Green Party take votes from Labour, he does have a path to a majority. And also as well, if you look at the state of the global economy, not just in this country, but Germany, the US and other places, we are probably, not guaranteed to, but we are probably heading for a recession at some point. Mm. So you'd much rather hold an election sooner rather than a few years down the line when we could be in very, very difficult economic times. So I personally suspect we'll have an election in the next few months, yeah.
Okay. Do you think Ben Stokes could be caretaker PM?
That's to both of you.
I don't see why not. We couldn't do any worse, could we?
Listen, it's an interesting...
very interesting.
Interesting debate. I was talking about it this morning. We're thinking, blimey, everything is up in the air, isn't it?
Now, I can say Adam Payne and John Riddle, officially fans of the show.
Fans of the show.
Not friends.
Adam and John, thanks ever so much for joining us. Adam Payne, political reporter, Business Insider, and John Rentall, their chief political commentator for The Independent. Do you know what? It's a real... there's such a strategic game going on here. You know, suspend Parliament.
Strategic is not the word.
I mean, listen, if they do suspend Parliament and they come back... I said to you earlier, what about if Boris Johnson does go to the Queen and says, I have to formally ask you, I suspend? And she says, no! And he says, what? You're meant to say yes.
No! Just get out!
Get out now! Go get your hair cut. Leave my corgi alone. Listen, when we come back, we're going to be talking a lot more Bell and Sperling stuff.
For the fans, by the fans. Love Sport Radio.
You are back with Bell and Sperling. Any other Motown tracks, Andrew?
Any other Motown tracks?
Mm.
Well, that I can think of.
So, I did ask you what your favourite Motown artist was. You said Stevie Wonder. This is on the story that Motown have released their the most downloaded track of all time from the Motown since 1972, which is Superstition, in at number one.
I need you, I need more than anyone, darling.
Who's that? Da, 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 da. Okay, I've got the song, yeah.
Well, how's it go?
You've said it, how it goes. Who's
that?
Yeah,
but is it... Baby, no, it's not. It's not that one. No, it's not that one, is it?
It's not. Okay. What is it?
I just can't remember.
Oh, right. Who's your favorite?
Great song.
Who's your favorite artist?
Favorite artist.
Yeah.
I said Stevie.
Stevie. Okay. Favorite female artist.
Okay. Favorite female artist would be. Famous female. I reckon it
was... Favourite female artist.
I know yours is.
Yeah?
I know yours is Gladys Knight.
Gladys Knight. In fact, I liked Gladys Knight and the Pips.
Yeah.
But then what happened
Which Pip did you like?
Well, what happened was two of the Pips left, and so it was just her brother, so she was called Gladys Knight and the Pip. It's true.
Who's your favourite? Charlie Hawkins.
Charlie Hawkins is here. Charlie Hawkins and Posh Boy.
And Posh Boy. Charlie Hawkins and Posh Boy. Charlie, first, what is your favourite Motown track?
Ooh.
Oh, isn't it?
I can throw in with Marvin Gaye. I can give you.
He knows all
that. I know them all. I grew up on this. My mum blaring out the music. I'm going to say.
Do you know what? I know what you're going to say.
Go on.
You're going to say, uptight. Everything is all right.
No, I'm not going to say
okay,
that. It's not even in the top 10.
Of course it's not.
I'm going to say.
Your favourite.
I don't know. Come back to me. I'm going to think.
Come back to you. Posh Boy was yours.
Never heard of that one.
Yeah.
For me,
there probably was one called "Come Back to Me."
Wait a minute. Posh Boys. I don't think we had this at boarding school. This sort of music. What sort of music is it?
Firstly, I didn't go to boarding school. And secondly,
such boarding school material.
Thank you. either Superstition or Sitting on the Dock of the Bay.
Okay.
Probably
both in
equal.
Both
in there. On our gigs, we'd go in with Dock of the Bay on our second track. Sometimes going with Let's Get It On, Marvin Gaye, first track.
Ooh.
And then in our second set,
we open with Let's Get It On by Marvin Gaye.
Yes, we do.
It moves the audience
show
into
beginning.
It.
Show beginning. Just Get It On. I'm going Luther Vandross, Never Too Much.
Is that Motown?
Yeah.
Was it on the label? Was it on the Motown label? I think that might have been on Sony. Might have been on CBS.
No, that's not Motown. Luther's not Motown. But listen, the reason that Charlie Hawkins and Posh Boy is here... Because it is now time for Games with Laurie. Here we are, round of applause.
Have you not done a jingle while I've been away from
this? No, I'm going to be doing one. I've been a bit slack.
God.
Laurie?
Hi.
What you got?
What have you got for us today?
What about Papa Was a Rolling Stone?
Yeah, we
sang
that.
I've said that before.
Yeah, that's what I'd go for. Or Please, Mr. Postman, that's a good one.
Oh, that's a great one.
My daughter listens to that song. She loves that song.
Does she? Which one? Not the Beatles.
She's got.
Which version?
No, the. Wait a minute, Mr. Postman.
Wait.
So she plays Billie Eilish. Okay, plays Billie Eilish. Yeah. And plays all her funky tracks, and then throws.
Please, Mr. Postman.
And I go, what? She went, I like
please,
it.
Please, Mr. Postman, look and see. There's a letter. Please, please, Mr. Postman.
The only reason why, I think my wife likes a postman.
Ah.
So that's why.
That would be a reason.
Okay, what is the game? What is today's game with Laurie?
Come on, get in here, postboy.
We're just having a little issue with our mic, so I'm going to pop through because okay. Johnny can't hear me.
Okay.
So, oh, can't you?
All right.
I'm going to have to come through.
Okay, so Laurie's coming through.
We're going to share a mic.
Just while we're waiting for producer Laurie, what do you think about Ed Sheeran as Jack Tit-in? He's hung up his guitar.
Well, he's not hung up his guitar, has he, permanently? Share he's sort mic. Of giving his guitar a breather.
If I wish
you
he
read,
would.
Well, that's a separate question. If you read how long his tour was, and you guys presumably know how hard it is, it was what? Over 850 days. Mm-hmm. I know on paper it's not a proper job, but it must be absolutely knackering.
Everyone says that. And the fact is, even we had to do a gig on Sunday, and when you're getting up for the gig, you've still got to be happy with everyone.
Yes.
You've got to be, yes. And literally, you finish the gig and you go, I get in the car and go, oh, so pleased.
I can be grumpy now.
Yeah. So pleased to be annoying.
Let's start games with Laurie. I'm chomping at the bit
because he lost every time last week. That's why.
That's why I want to.
Should we reset the scores now that Martin Bell's?
I think Martin's taken over from.
I think.
Just because you know you're three behind.
I think we should. He knows reset
he's
the
three
scores.
Behind.
And also Charlie Hawkins.
Yeah, new to the game.
New to the game.
Okay, fair. Fine. Okay, we'll reset the scores.
I'm happy. With
are you ready tomorrow, Charlie? Are you?
Why don't we do it every week?
I'm phoning.
We'll
you can phone in.
We'll reset the scores.
You can phone in for games with Laurie. And then we can do it now like this.
All right, we'll reset the scores.
Let's do that. Reset the scores.
All right.
Reset. Let's reset.
Convincing sound effects there. Okay.
Yeah.
So we've been talking about proroguing Parliament and all
that
kind of thing.
I thought it would be a nice one.
And me and Johnny were talking about all the names that you hear of these Tory MPs you've never heard of.
Okay.
Who either agree or disagree with it.
This is good. This is good.
So
like this.
I'm going to give you some names of Tory MPs from history, and you just have to tell me whether they're real or not.
Love it.
Love it.
Okay.
It's beautiful. It's a beautiful piece
it's
of work.
Beautiful. No. Honestly, Games with Laurie is a masterpiece.
All right, I'm in.
So there
I'm
are
here.
Some
I've
posh ones. I'll tell you that for
here
free.
Here we go.
Actually, yeah, Johnny's probably got an advantage here.
Of course he has.
I bet you are.
Okay.
Sorry, for the purpose of the listener, you have to call him Posh Boy, otherwise we get Johnny Sperling involved.
We always do.
Well, we've been doing this for weeks, Martin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you'd be sunning yourself, mate, with games with lorries.
I haven't been sunning myself.
Yes, you have. Right? You look very tan.
I've been going around on a powerboat in Miami. Right?
Games with Laurie was about when you were just a twinkle in your mother's eye. It was already being conceived itself.
Yeah.
Right.
Me first, of
you
course.
First, Johnny Sperling.
Here we go. Come on, let's get this one in the bag.
Samuel D'Arcy Wentworth.
Oh,
is that a real
it's
or
good,
fake?
It's good.
Tory MP.
I'm going straight with my gut instinct. I'm going, it's true.
That is fake.
Oh! What is his name?
That's a very good fake. Samuel D'Arcy Wentworth.
It's brilliant.
D'Arcy well with an apostrophe in there. Yeah.
It's very, very good.
Okay.
Oh, I'm on a loser already.
Do you have an umlaut at the top? Yeah. There you go.
All right. Next up, we're going to go for Martin Bell.
Mm. He's Henry already with his one.
Bingham Baring. Henry Bingham Baring.
I am going to go true.
That is true. Well
done. Oh, Bell's he's in
the reason why I used to play football with him on a Thursday.
Well, that's funny, given that he was the MP for Marlborough until 1847.
Exactly. You want to see the state of him.
He just plays walking football. You're keeping scores, by the way, Martin.
Okay.
So that's one to you.
This is easy. I'm going to win this.
Keep scores.
Is Johnny Burrow.
Posh boy.
Johnny Posh Boy Burrow.
That's it.
Clifford Erskine Bolst. Is that a real or a fake Tory MP from history or the modern day?
The Bolst makes me believe it, but it's fake.
It's real.
Oh! Posh boy!
Okay, Charlie Hawkins.
Here we go, Charlie.
I'm going to give you one now because it's your turn.
That's going to be strange.
Amelia Deroufle.
Oh.
I'm going to say that is
fake?
You're absolutely right. That is fake.
That's
well
a point apiece for Bell and Charlie.
Okay, so no points to Spurlodge.
1-1, 0-0.
1 point to Bell, nothing to Posh, and one to Charlie.
Okay, backgrounds.
Here we go.
Here's our first knighthood of the day. Or is it Sir Ellis Ashmead Bartlett? Sir Ellis Ashmead Bartlett.
Oh, that's so good. That's so good if it's fake. Say him again, Sir Ashley. What?
Sir Ellis Ashmead Bartlett.
Was it Divo?
Sir Ellis Ashmead Bartlett. Sir Ellis, I now pronounce you Sir Ellis Ashmead.
You're getting married.
Well, no, you know,
I now pronounce you.
Real.
That is real. What well
a. Whoa.
Spurling gets a point.
I'm in.
Okay. Beautiful. Okay. Carry on, the Lorid. Sir Lorid.
I've never had that one right.
The Lorid.
Here's one for you. Mm. We know some Moggs in the modern day. And we know that there's Jacob Rees-Mogg.
Yes.
His father, William Rees-Mogg, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But was there ever a Bertram Mogg?
As a Tory MP?
Yes.
I would say fake.
Well done, that was fake.
Oh, yes. How did you do it?
Yes,
how did you do that?
Because I've been away and I'm nice and fresh.
All right, Johnny Burrow.
Right, I've got to get on the board here, lads.
Montgomery Sand. Is that fake?
It's a nice name.
Or real? Montgomery Sand.
I think I stayed
it
in a hotel
fake,
there.
But is it?
Fake.
It is fake, well done.
Oh. If it was sands plural, I'd have gone real.
Would you?
Oh, yeah. It's fine margin.
He's such a posh.
I'll refine
he's
my
such
technique.
A posh boy, isn't he? Good.
Okay, here's one for
Charlie's
you.
Go.
Charlie.
Your backgrounds. This is to keep the share of the lead. Mm. Maurice Petherick.
Oh, it's a nice name. Beautiful.
Maurice Petherick.
I'm going to say true.
That is true.
Oh!
Go on, Charlie. Charlie's in with me.
Charlie, boy.
End of round two.
He hasn't let it slip.
Johnny Spurling has 1 point. Bell has two. Yep. Posh Boy has one. Charlie has two.
Maurice Rouse. Petherick, famous
two,
for
two,
playing
one, one.
Left wing for Dulwich Hamlet.
I don't think you can come up with Petherick.
Beautiful.
Okay.
It's beautiful. Round three.
They're quite Dickensian,
honestly,
aren't they?
You'd be surprised, Charlie, what this man has done. It's incredible what he's brought.
Charlie knows. Charlie's a regular listener.
Get stuck in.
All right.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Johnny Spurling.
Yes. Here we go.
Anthony Bainbridge Fisk.
Fisk.
That was close.
Fisk.
Anthony Bainbridge Fisk.
Fisk.
I'm going.
You've got a whistle on the S.
I'm going for real.
Fisk.
It's actually fake.
Oh, mate. Charles, that's a brilliant one, isn't it?
A fake Fisk.
Come on, that's a brilliant.
Give it to me. Give it to me, Laurie.
All right. We haven't had many women so far.
No.
Well, unfortunately, I have.
We'll leave that one for another day.
Yes.
It's a different game with Laurie. Isabella von Leitzmann.
Oh, it's very good. Dame?
She might be a dame. I don't know. My research hasn't covered that part.
Isabella von... how'd you spell that? How'd you spell that last name?
L-E-I-T-Z-M-A-N-N. Leitzmann. Isabella von Leitzmann.
I am going to say true.
That is also fake.
Oh, yeah, brilliant. You got one wrong.
Oh, no. Right, so
it's good, though, isn't it? Any good.
Right, come on.
Here's one for you, Johnny.
Damn.
Posh boy.
Charles Hepburn Stewart Forbes Trefusis.
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 Beautiful.
Would anyone really have a name that long?
I think they would.
True.
It is true.
Yeah.
And I can also tell you, that is the full legal name. There are more middle names not involved. Charles Hepburn Stewart Forbes Trefusis.
What a great posh name that is.
My middle name.
Devon North, 1857.
Hepburn.
Is that your middle name?
No.
What is your middle name?
Catherine.
Francis.
Oh, is it really?
He was actually an MP before he stopped being an MP to take up his father's peerage. Big surprise there. Okay.
So what are the scores now? So did I
hang on a minute. It's not ended the first round. Charlie's got to go.
Oh, Charlie boy, yeah.
He's for the lead.
Charlie.
Yeah.
Do you know what? This is the final round because there's an extra person.
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
Is this for the win?
It's for the win, yeah.
Is this for three out of three?
I'm on two.
Yeah, I'm on two.
Sperling's on one. Posh is on two.
So I got the last one right, didn't I?
Here we go.
No.
You got them all wrong, Johnny.
No, he's got one right. He's got one right.
Oh, well, one right, okay.
Go on then. Last one for Charlie.
Charlie. Langton Brackenbury.
Oh, there you go, boy.
L-A-N-G-T-O-N Brackenbury.
I'm going to say true.
It's absolutely right.
Oh,
Charlie's winning.
Charlie Hawkins.
Johnny Hawkins wins it.
Comes in, new boy, and wins it and steals it.
We do need. We needed a bed of music underneath that. It was very Dickensian.
Yeah, it is. I've got a. I did have a tiebreaker. If anyone wants to come second, you're on.
Let's go for it.
Charlie doesn't need it.
Bell versus Posh Boy. To finish. Jock,
you just do a little bit of a beat behind.
A bit more dramatic.
Okay, I'll just leave it then, eh?
All right. For all the points, and you have to disagree.
Yes.
Normally you go with the person who has fewer points.
We've both got two.
Because you're away. In the whole game. Okay. But we're on zero all now, aren't we? Because we've reset.
Apart from Charlie Hawkins.
But because Johnny was behind last week, I'm going to let him answer first.
Oh, the pressure.
Rupert de Quincey Farnborough.
False.
Which means that, Bell, by extension, you have to go real.
I would have said false, actually, but I'll go real.
Okay. Well, unfortunately, it is false.
Of course it's false.
Of course it's false.
Mate, you wrote that one down as you were sitting there.
I didn't.
So, Posh Boy comes second.
Yeah, there you go.
The younger generation, boys.
Round of applause. Round of applause, boys.
Charlie will be back with us in about 12 or 13 minutes to talk all about his show. He's coming for... Covering for Cricket Critchard.
Who's the poshest name that you know, John?
Oh, I don't know. Posh. He's quite posh. He comes on with us. The Fitzgerald, is it? Fitzpatrick?
Yeah.
I love him.
Fitzpatrick.
And I saw him.
Yeah.
I actually saw him the other day.
What?
On a royal programme.
In Nando's?
He was talking about something. He was on there. And he's lovely.
Richard Fitzwilliams.
That's it. And he came on. Well, you know, Prince Charles is a very, very nice man. He walks around and he does his job.
He talks to the flowers.
And he does ever so well, you know. I don't know what... And he was on there. He looked like he should have looked like.
If you had a posh hyphenated name...
Yes.
What would you have? So, Johnny something Sperling.
Johnny Farage. Sperling.
I think you're more sort of like Johnny Rhododendron Sperling.
Oh, Rhododendron. Yeah. It's not bad.
It's got a nice, got a, isn't it? You know, it's like a Martin.
Marcellus, very nice producer, Laurie. Johnny Marcellus Sperling.
Okay, what you got for me?
Martin Botanic Bellamy.
Bell.
No, it's Bellamy. Your name is Bellamy.
I know, but everyone knows him as Bell.
Yeah, but it's still Bellamy.
Okay, how about this?
That's your real name.
Martin.
Yes.
Ding Dong Bell.
Oh, yeah. They're all there. Ding Dong.
That's me. That's what I'm going to do. I'm getting involved with that. I'm going to go to Depot. I'm having that put in the middle.
Yeah, put it in the middle.
Okay, because we actually worked out that after 26 years of knowing each other, we didn't know each other's middle names.
No, I'm John Anthony.
Yeah.
John Anthony, which is quite posh.
And I'm Martin Lee.
Martin Lee was a bit... Yeah, but yours is a bit...
bit rubbish?
It's a bit cancer state, isn't it?
But all right, Lee. Yeah, Lee.
All right, Lee. What's up? How you doing, boy?
It was Anthony, you see.
Anthony.
Yeah. But it could be Tone.
Tone.
What, Tone?
What, Tone? Tone and Lee. There they go.
It's Tony and Lee.
Yeah. I must just say that, by the way, if I wasn't christened Martin, it was at the same time that Elvis had Lisa Marie Presley.
Yeah.
Okay. And my mum and dad were going to call me Lisa.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wait, if you was a girl?
Yeah. Because my mum said it was at the same time. She started telling me the story.
Who was that?
She started telling me the story, and she said, "Look, she said we had a couple of names, and we had Martin." Mm. And she said, "And if you was a girl," she said, "it was right at the same time that Elvis
had left the building,
had a baby."
Yeah.
And I said, "Please don't tell me you're going to call me Hound Dog."
67. Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just had.
I was 68. So
she was married in 67. She was born in 68. Sounds about right.
There you go. Listen, when we come back, we're going to have Lisa Marie Presley on.
This is Love Sport.
You've been listening to Bell and Sperling. We will sign out. Thank you very much.